throughout the past week, as we have again and again been speaking to you. We've been talking to you about a Savior who died at Calvary, gave his life that you might live. That Savior is alive today. He rose again. He's sitting now on the throne of heaven, a true man in glory. And he's coming again. He's coming back soon. Tonight, we're going to concentrate in our time together on the reasons why those of us who read our Bibles believe, with good reason, that Jesus Christ is coming back again very, very soon. And for that coming, you need to be ready. Because the return of Christ has tremendous implications for every one of us. For those of us who are saved, the implications are delightful. We're going to heaven. In our own bodies, as we are, to be changed, glorified, to enjoy heaven forever. But those who are not saved, not ready to go, will have no advance warning of the moment of his coming and will be left behind for judgment. And so the coming of Christ has tremendous implications for every one of us in this room this morning. That's the reason why there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. It's a parenthetic verse, and I just want to quote half of it to you. It says, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." God deals with us in very simple terms. God does not talk to us in some multi-syllabic words that few of us can understand. God uses words that are simple and powerful and meaningful. Now. Not difficult, is it? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We cannot guarantee you another day. We have no reason at all why we should assure you that you will have further opportunity beyond today. Someday you may come on a Sunday to this building, it could be next week, and find it locked and empty. All the Christians, all the born-again believers living not only on your island, but throughout the world, gone to heaven. And you left behind. It's a reality, folks. It's going to happen. We believe it's going to happen soon. Be ready. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. With that as a background, I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 55 this morning, beginning at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. The first word of this chapter is a rather startling word in the Bible. It's another one of those very, very small words, and it's very significant. H-O. Ho. Why would God use a funny word like that? You might not even think it's in the English language, but here it is in the Bible. Why is it here? It's an attention getter. God wants to get your attention. It's like calling out to you in the darkness of the night and saying, stop, hold, listen. Now here's what he has to say. If he's got your attention, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'd like you to notice that in these few verses that we've read, there are seven active verbs, seven actions that you're called upon to observe. Come, buy, hearken, incline, or hear, seek, forsake, return. The sinner may say, do I have to do all those things? Is my coming to Christ a great jumble of activity? No, it's not. No, your coming to Christ, if you will come today, is an act of greatest simplicity. And yet, the Spirit of God, as He tries to get your attention, uses these verbs and the accompanying comments to convey to you the wondrous blessings that you will get if now, on this day of salvation, you will respond to the invitation and will come to Christ. I'd like you to notice these verbs this morning, and most of all, the blessings that attend them. Hold every one that thirsteth. I wonder, is there someone thirsty here this morning? Have you tried the pleasures of the world and found they don't really satisfy? In fact, I'm absolutely sure that there's no one here who has found that the pleasures of sin do satisfy. People who indulge in those pleasures always go back for more. They never find that they are satisfying. In fact, they are more and more inclined to put the person in bondage and leave him thirsty for something better. Have you tried religion and found it doesn't satisfy? No wonder. Religion doesn't. You may think it's strange that you come to a building this morning that you think of as a church, and you hear somebody standing in front of you saying, have you tried religion and it doesn't satisfy? But that's not strange to us. We're not here to preach religion. We're here to preach Christ. We're here to tell you that salvation is found in a person who died for you at Calvary, and no one else will satisfy except him. No matter where you have been, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have tried, in order to fill your life with good things or to get ready for eternity, if you have never drunk of this one who is our Savior, you're still thirsty this morning. There's a scripture. In fact, it's the final invitation in the Bible. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is athirst come. Are you satisfied with life this morning? Are you satisfied with where you're going? Are you sure that all is well? If not, do you thirst for something better? Everyone who is thirsty, come ye to the waters. Long ago, our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking one day to a woman, and she was thirsty. And he said, whosoever will drink of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. Why is that? Because what Christ gives surpasses anything else that you'll find anywhere else. You accept our Savior, you've got eternal life. It's a guarantee. Can you find a better insurance? Can you find a better bargain than one who offers you life and peace and joy, and it costs you nothing? Ho! Stop, sinner! Come ye to the waters. Drink this morning of this simple, wondrous beverage, the water of life that is free. You know, the most marvelous beverage in the world is the simplest one, H2O. It's the one God made. No, he didn't make Coke. I got nothing against it. He didn't make ginger ale. He sure didn't brew beer. He didn't even make coffee, although I can't really get along well without it. And neither can a lot of you, I happen to know. But you know, when you're really thirsty, have you ever noticed this? You must get a hot day here once a year, at least. And if you're outside, out somewhere working, perhaps out in the fields, harvesting potatoes, and it's a hot, hot day, is there anything better than a drink of cool water? There's nothing like it. God made it. God provided it. It's the great thirst quencher. It is the single most important and largest component of your body, H2O. And he speaks to every sinner this morning and says, there is also a water of life, for which in the heat of life you are made to thirst. If you'll drink of it, you will never thirst again. Then he says, come ye, buy, and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Buy, here's the second verb, for satisfaction. If you'd like to be satisfied, buy today that which satisfies. Oh, how much men and women pay for things that do not satisfy. How many things they try to bring joy into life. Things happen that bring delight to us temporarily. You know, if I go and buy a new car, I'm just delighted with that new car. I mean, it shines and it purrs. It's wonderful. And then it gets dirty. And then it gets dented. Especially if I let my wife drive. And that's really not true. And after a while, the car has sort of lost its luster. I take her to the store where the beautiful clothes are. And I let her spend $10 for a dress. And she puts it on and she loves it and it's wonderful. But it isn't long and I hear a little whimper. I need another one. I need a new one. Why is this? The things of time all lose their luster, don't they? We pour out the effort. We pour out our sweat and our tears and our muscles for that which does not satisfy. There stands one in the offing today, and he's crying out to you, "Ho, stop! I want you to buy something that satisfies." And then he says, "It won't cost you money. You buy it without money and without price." Oh, yes, there may be a cost, all right. It may be that you will have to turn your back on some of the other things that you've been trying to lay your hands on, hoping that they will satisfy. It may be that there are things that you have tried to fill your life with that are really not worth very much. You're going to be called upon to set them aside in order that you will accept and have forever something that really satisfies. This one calls to you today to buy, to pay that price, and to take one that satisfies. My friend, my Savior satisfies. He fills the heart. You talk to any Christian in this room this morning, and there are quite a few. Afterwards, go to them and ask them, "Are you glad you got saved?" You'll get an affirmative answer. Would you trade your salvation and go back to this world? And they'll answer, "No. I would not trade my salvation for 5 minutes back in that dark, cold world for anything. Because in that 5 minutes, the Lord may come and I would be lost, but I couldn't do it if I wanted to, and I'm glad I can. I have no desire to go back to that old world. Oh, yes, I still live in it. I work in it. I make my living in it. I travel in it. I move around in it. But I don't share its fate. I don't prioritize its pleasures. As a Christian, I have something better. I have assurance of eternal life. I know where I'm going, and I know that my destination cannot be changed. And what did I give up for it? Oh, a few empty dreams. A little bit of nonsense. Did life lose its pleasure when I got saved? Oh, no. Did life lose its prospect when I got saved? Oh, no. No, I got a friend that's the best of friends. The Savior, the Christ who died for me. He satisfies. He fills the life with good things. And he'll fill yours today, friend, if you're not satisfied. Come to our Savior now, and you'll find that without paying and without sacrifice of anything worthwhile, you will be filled with eternal satisfaction. Come and buy. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Hearken. What does it mean? Listen. Stop for a minute. Set aside the flurry and hustle and worry of life and listen for a moment. And what does he offer if you do? Delight. Delight. What is delight? Oh, it's a high level of pleasure. A high level of joy. He brings joy. Maya will not forget the night when I got saved. when one moment I was in my sins and afraid that I would never find Christ and afraid that there was no hope for me. And a moment later, I was on my feet, racing out of the living room, headed for wherever I could find my mom to tell her, "Mom, I'm saved." And then to the telephone to call my Sunday school teacher and to tell him, "Henry," for his name was Henry Lenders, "Henry, I've just got saved." And we rejoiced together. Delight came where before there had been worry, uncertainty, dissatisfaction. There came delight. You know what? Ever since then, I have had with me a friend that is like none other, the one who died for me. He has given me his angel to watch over me. He takes care of his people. Oh, yes, we get sickness. Oh, yes, we can have automobile accidents. Oh, yes, we can even get a traffic ticket from the RCMP if we're not careful. But usually, those little things are our own fault. He takes care of us. And he never leaves us, never forsakes us, never throws us away, never discards us, never changes, never disappoints. The love of man can ebb and flow, the love of Christ will never change. The assurance that he gives is absolute. Eternal, cannot be compromised. Hearken, listen, tune in to his message. "Come unto me," says he, "all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is his promise. Come for rest. Hearken unto me, he says, and I will give you delight. Incline, verse 3. Here's the fourth one. Incline your ear unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. The moment you were born, the moment you drew your first breath, you were given a soul. That soul came from God. You'll never lose it. It'll never be extinguished. It's a part of you. It assures you eternal consciousness that you cannot void and you cannot run away from. You are not like your pet dog, which in due course dies, and that's the end. For you, there is no escape from eternal consciousness. There is only the option of eternal life in heaven, or eternal death in the lake of fire. Eternal life is offered to you today with all that that implies of joy and peace and rest for all eternity. And here he says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear." Hear, hear, and your soul shall live. We sometimes wonder why it is that a person can read the Bible with all the wonder that it offers to the sinner, and go away and not accept it. We wonder why it is that people can be invited to a service like this. You're most welcome to come. Costs you nothing to be here. Someone does his best to tell you the glorious message, how your sins can be put away and how you can be put right with God, fitted for eternity, sure of heaven. Give up nothing of value in the process, and you go away unresponsive to that invitation. We wonder how it can be. It is the God of heaven to whom you are turning a deaf ear. It is the greatest value the world has ever known that you are turning away from. It is peace. It is life. It is joy. It is the best that eternity can give. And you go and you leave it untouched. Why? We do not understand. It must be that you're not listening to him. No, he cries out to you today. Incline your ear and come unto me here. Listen. Tune in. And your soul shall live. What he asks you to do today is listen to his message. Listen as he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Listen as he says, now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now's the time to listen. Not another day. Not later. Now. Let's go to the next verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Maybe you think, I'll tend to this next week. I'm going to have a busy time the next few days. I'm not going to consider this matter of my soul this morning. I've got other things I have to do. My friend, the Lord does not offer you salvation interminably. He offers you salvation now. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You do not know what a day may bring forth. You don't know about tomorrow. Neither do I. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You may think to yourself, well, I feel pretty sure about tomorrow. I'm healthy. I live in a land of law and order. I'm safe. I'll think about it later. Ah, but he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, if God has approached you this week, if God has spoken to you this week and invited you to accept his Son, he does not extend the invitation into tomorrow necessarily. Rather, he says to you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If there is a knocking on your heart's door today, it is the Spirit of God that is speaking to you, and he asks you to answer and to answer now. He says to you, my friend, I've got the best of gifts for you. I've got the very finest that life could give for you. He says, now is the day to accept it. Now is the day of salvation. Seek him while he's near. And then he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It may have occurred to you that you're at a crossroads now, that two roads lie in front of you. One that is the road of response to God and the road of eternal life. And the other is the road of rejection of the message of the gospel and the road of eternal death. If it has occurred to you that you are at a crossroads this morning, you are absolutely right. That's where you are. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the old life and the new. You can't have the old ways and the Savior. You can't have your sins and lose them at the same time. He has called to you to repent of your sins. He requires that there be a response from you that is a response acknowledging your need of Him, for you do need Him. You can't do without Him. You see, without Christ, you'll never be in heaven. Without a Savior, you'll never have peace in this life. Without this one, you'll go through life limping without the knowledge of the greatest joy that is under heaven. And for this reason, he says, let the wicked, let the sinner forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. I challenge you, what are you thinking right now about God's salvation? Pause for a moment. Become introspective. Look within your own mind for a minute. What are you thinking about the Savior? What are you thinking about your future? Do you simply disbelieve God? In that case, there's no hope for you. If you don't believe God, you're making God a liar, and God will simply leave you where you are. Unfortunately, he really has no option for you. But if you believe God, if you believe God about yourself, do you? Do you believe God about yourself? What are your thoughts about yourself? Do you agree with God about yourself? Do you agree with God when he says all have sinned, and that includes you? Do you believe God that there is none righteous and you're included in that none? Do you believe God about his son? Do you believe God when he says, I gave my son for you? Listen as he says, I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and risen from the dead. Do you believe him or not? What are your thoughts? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And finally, let him return unto the Lord. And he'll have mercy upon you. Oh, here's the end of this beautiful sevenfold invitation. He says, come. He says, buy. He says, hear. He says, turn. He says, seek. And he winds up with this. He says, return unto the Lord. And there's mercy for you. He waits now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There lies before you a choice. And he asks you to return. And he'll have mercy on you. He'll forgive you all your sin. He'll take away the blight that has been in your life. He'll take away the doubts. He'll resolve the contradictions. He'll remove the fears. And in his mercy, he'll give you eternal life, rest, peace, joy. Oh, what are you waiting for? Why not come? Why not accept him? Why not take him now? Return unto me, says he, and I'll have mercy on you this morning. Oh, my friend, as we close, he loves you. He wants you. He seeks you. Christ has died for you. The Spirit waits for your response. The call goes out to get your attention. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And now he says, turn to me, and I'll have mercy. Oh, may you come. And again, we say to you, as we have in the past, we can't save you. I'm just the messenger. Glad to be that. But I can't save you. Only he can save you. The Spirit of God will do a work in the life and the heart of any soul that honestly seeks the Savior. You seek him this morning and you'll find him. He waits. But if we can help you by answering questions, by turning again to this blessed book and trying to show you God's way of salvation, we're only too happy to do that. We just plead with you. Whatever may be involved in your difficulty, oh, my friend, lay it aside now. Let us help you, if you would like, by answering questions and pointing you to the Savior. But above all, come. Come now. Accept him as yours. And you'll never regret it. We assure you. Our Father, in the precious name of thy beloved Son, we thank thee for the glorious invitation of the Word of God. We thank thee that the call goes out to every thirsty sinner this morning to come and drink. We thank thee the message is come, mercy is offered. Salvation, free and full and wondrous, lies at the hand of every sinner. Father, for any person in this room this morning who is not saved, we beg of thee that they may turn and live, even right at this moment. We ask thee that the Spirit of God may speak to any this morning here who are not saved. Lead them to the Savior, even as this meeting closes, we pray in his precious name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, number 144. 144. Come, every soul by sin oppressed. Notice the words of this. Come, every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word, for Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Number 144, and we have sung this, our service is in.